Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead, as we usually do, to the readings for this Sunday, the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And once again this week, I just want to read a particular section from Magnificat magazine that speaks about the readings for this Sunday. It's very succinct, and then I'll tie it into what I spoke about yesterday on the program, and we'll go from there. Today, Jesus resolutely determines to journey to Jerusalem. He uses his human freedom to follow the path that leads to his death. Quote, "You were called for freedom Christ has set us free." Freedom is the experience of the deepest truth of ourselves. It is the ability to confront our destiny. It is the capacity for our happiness. If we're really willing to follow what God has created us for, even if that involves difficulty, it has the capacity to make us happy, even in the midst of the challenges. That is why Elisha's act of burning his plowing equipment, this is what we're going to read about today. This is why Elisha's act of burning his plowing equipment to cook up his oxen is a perfect act of freedom. By freeing himself to follow the prophet Elijah, Elisha can reach the meaning of his life. Freedom is humble, passionate, total dedication to God in our daily life. Listen to that. Freedom, not to do what we want to do. Real freedom, as we were created by God to be human, to be free, to be free, is to follow the Lord. It's humble, passionate, total dedication to God in our daily life. It is to our freedom that Jesus appeals when he says to us, "Follow me," as he follows his own human freedom all the way to the fulfillment of the Father's will. We want to say, well, I want to know where I'm going. I want to know the destination. I want to know how long it's going to take. I want to know the good and the bad. I want to know this all before I sign up. No. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" If you say, "Yes, Lord, I do love you," and then Jesus says, "Then follow me." It's our act of freedom. We can choose to say no. But once again, brothers and sisters, we can't straddle. It's either yes or no. O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light, grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. Let's take a look at the first reading here from the first book of Kings that was alluded to in that little introduction. The Lord said to Elijah, "You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet to succeed you." Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was following the 12th. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Please," because when he experienced this, Elijah taking his cloak and throwing it over him, he knew there was a call to him in that. The cloak was a cloak of authority, and the prophet is throwing it over Elisha. So he says, "Please let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you." And Elijah answered, "Go back. Have I done anything to you?" Elisha left him, and taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh and gave it to his people to eat. In other words, he provided for his family. It's a concrete expression of providing for his family. Then Elisha left and followed Elijah as his attendant. Brothers and sisters, are you passing the cloak of however God has anointed you, however God has blessed you in this life? Are you passing it on to the generations to come? Are you sharing the gifts of God that you have received? Ask God how to do that. Sometimes we don't know how to share it, or we don't know whether it will be received, keep going to prayer. Ask the Lord, show me how. We pass on a lot of stuff to the next generations, and some of it is very, very bad. Are we ready, brothers and sisters? Are we ready to follow him? Which means really turning to him, really putting our lives in his hands. Psalm 16, you are my inheritance, Lord. That should become our song. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say, my Lord, are you. You're my Lord. O Lord, you're my allotted portion, my cup. You it is who hold fast my lot. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence. Because you will not abandon my soul to the nether world, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. You will show me the path to life, fullness of joy in your presence, the delight at your right hand forever. That's the promise, brothers and sisters, if we follow him. Are we? Paul to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1, and then verses 13 to 18. Brothers and sisters, freedom. Christ has set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. When we choose to, in a certain way, bind ourselves to the Lord, bind ourselves to follow him and obey his commandments, we actually become free. That's the paradox. And it's really true. We become free when we live as we were created to live. We have the freedom to do otherwise, but actually we're fools if we try to follow our own lights, so to speak. To follow the Lord is genuinely to set us free. For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. If you're attacking and biting, you can be destroyed. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, you actually become free when you bind yourself to Christ and his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. You honestly are set free. Free to be what God created you to be. He loves you. Loves you more than you can even begin to understand. It's safe to follow him. Though it's scary sometimes. It's safe. Because he will lead you safely home to the Father. And the gospel is the gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. He knew where he was going. He knew he would die. But he's doing the Father's will. He sent messengers ahead of him. He resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. They were opposed. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? But Jesus rebuked them. He said, let's go to another village. Do you see? God knew when to act and when to withhold. Do we? The closer we are to him, the more we understand his ways. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Are you ready to do that? Can you say that to the Lord? Ponder that. Ponder that this weekend. Ponder that this Sunday. I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." In other words, when you follow me, it's not easy. You're not going to have all the, quote, comforts of home, whether they come physically or spiritually or what emotionally, whatever way. You're not going to have the comforts of home if you decide to follow me. And to another, he said, "Follow me." Jesus looks at someone and says, "Follow me." And he replies, "Well, Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." In other words, brothers and sisters, of course, those who are alive are to care for those who have gone before us, of course. But you see, what he probably sensed was this man was actually hesitating. So he thought up a good thing, because that was an obligation, go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." What he's asking him is to get his priorities clear and not to use excuses, even in the most important things of caring for those who have gone before us. God will enable us to care for those who have gone before us, but we need to make the decisions that he's first in everything. Have you made that decision? Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." And to him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what is left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." In other words, don't follow me and then have one hand on the plow and keep looking back saying, "Oh, I wish I had done this," even among the important things. God wants a clear call. He will enable us to provide what is necessary. Always, care of our families is important. But he's saying, don't let it be an excuse for not following me. Even the most serious of things, don't let it be an excuse. In other words, don't try to come up with a reason why you legitimately can avoid following me. Don't do that. Either you're going to follow me or you aren't. Brothers and sisters, God is asking a lot of us. And the way in which the readings are coming in this last week or so, I see that the Lord is giving you a very, to all of us who listen, to all of us who listen to his word, he's giving you a very clear call. Are you going to put him first in your life? He will take care of family responsibilities. Are you going to put him first in your life? Then he will show you how to take care of the needs of others that you're supposed to. But you put him first. Don't use that as an excuse for not following him. He loves your family, frankly, more than you do. But he wants you to get clear that your first priority is to follow the Lord. And when you've made that decision and you really want to become his disciple, he will show you how to provide for those to whom you are obligated in some way. Trust him. Follow him. Make him first. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The mercy of God and the joy repentance brings. God bless you.